This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. When we're not busy putting together this daily news shows for you, most of us on the team are huge podcast listeners. And there's a relatively new production this year that has really got our attention. It's called The Best Advice Show. And we don't think the title oversells. Detroit radio producer Zach Rosen is asking people all around the city and from different spheres in his digital life about the stuff that works, from stockbrokers on taking the long view.
The more closely you watch markets, the more volatile they are.
To poet and critic Hanif Abdurraqib on keeping your work in perspective.
I did the best I could with what tools I had, and because I wrote that book, I was able to grow and write something else.
There's even advice from a six-year-old.
Sometimes if you do tell a lie, it's better to just tell the truth.
Zach Rosen, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you, April. That's a nice intro.
How'd you hit on the idea of an advice show? You've done so many different kinds of work.
Yeah. Really, it was an iteration of a project that I started last year that didn't quite work. So what I was trying to do last year was to match young people who are interested in fill in the blank. Young people interested in acting or astronomy or whatever. And I was matching them with masters from that field. And I wanted to have this kind of mentor-mentee dynamic play out on tape. And I noticed it was really cool for both the mentor and the mentee, but the tape wasn't quite hot enough for me. And I was just noticing, though, that there were these little morsels inside those conversations that I thought were great. And so I thought, what if I could just kind of make some compressed piece of audio that, you know, would just contain like one discrete idea. And then I decided, oh, what if it contained one discrete piece of advice rather than these sprawling conversations that I really like to listen to? I just kind of wanted to sculpt something a little more minimal. And so I landed on this advice thing, because everyone has their own way of moving through the world and their way of just like making it through the day. And I just wanted to know, like, what is your specific way of getting through? And that's kind of where I landed.
One of the things that's so great about it is sometimes these take the form of pretty full-blown conversations, and sometimes they're just like 3 minutes long. What a beautiful thing to give yourself the freedom to go as long or as short as you need to in a world where podcasts are sometimes two guys talking nonstop for an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, especially now that so many of us have lost our commutes, I was like missing. I just don't have the time that I had earlier this year to listen to shows. And so another impetus was just, let me give someone something that they can listen to while they're peeing and, like, you know, start and finish an episode, you know, by the time they're done going to the bathroom. Maybe that's too graphic.
Do you want
me to give a different example of how someone can listen?
Oh, are you kidding? That is definitely going in the interview. I hadn't tried it in that venue, but I confess I'm very curious to give it a shot. Zach, advice is kind of a funny thing. I mean, sometimes it's great, but most often when we get it, it's totally unsolicited and less than helpful. What kind of advice has worked out for you?
In my own life?
Yeah.
As a receiver of advice?
Yeah.
So the way I'm thinking about the best advice isn't like someone, you know, telling me like this like perfect quote that's gonna set me free. It's just like these little specific things that people do or that people suggest I might try that can improve my life. So actually there's one piece of advice that I got from a recent interview. It actually hasn't aired yet, but you know Gretchen Rubin, she's the host of Happier. It's like a big podcast. Mm-hmm. That is all about finding happiness. But I asked her what's the piece of advice she dispenses the most. And she says, if there's something that you can do in less than a minute, just do it. And that's going to reduce so much clutter, like in your house. You know, like if there's just like some like box that's just sitting on your counter that needs to be thrown in the recycling bin, just do it, because it's just going to save you so much energy if you just kind of take care of it now.
That's so terrifying, though, because there are so many things that need to be done that take more than a minute. Will they ever get done if we keep doing the minute-long things?
I think so, because like you can do the minute-long things like between, you know, the longer-term stuff. Like when you're walking from your office to the kitchen, you can take care of that thing. You can throw that thing in the laundry instead of just leaving it for later. So I find like it's really helpful for not letting stuff pile up.
I'm sure you can't beat the sense of accomplishment that doing all those minute things brings you too.
It does feel good to reduce the clutter.
Do you have other favorites from the episodes that have dropped so far?
One that I think of so much is it was one of the first episodes that I ran with a Detroit-based writer, Drew Philp, and he talked about this thing that he read about in Men's Health and something that he practices as much as he can, where he will take an orange into the shower with him in the morning.
And, you know, get the shower like steaming hot, and the steam and the heat kind of like opens up your pores and your nostrils and your taste buds. It's just such a pure little moment of absolute sensual wonder and joy first thing in the morning, right when you get up and have to face the day.
And something about eating an orange while taking a morning shower is just this like zesty, vibrant way for him to awaken. And I just love that. Just, you know, anyone can do it. And it's just like this little way to treat yourself that is cheap and easy and like super accessible. I love those types of things, like these little things that people do just to enrich their lives that like you don't need a lot of money for.
Do you know what my reaction was to that episode?
Tell me.
My thing is actually brushing my teeth in the shower. So
yes.
While Drew Philp is sparking joy, I'm just trying to maximize my to-do list for the morning.
I love that too. And you can be like a lot more blasé about like spitting, right? It's like, it doesn't matter. just spit it out and you can clean right off.
Totally.
With the shower spray.
There's one that I love with the musician Michael Franti, and it was offered in the spirit of keeping your relationship in shape, which I think that's something that a lot of people are trying to stay on top of during lockdown. And he talks about a question that he and his wife try to answer as they argue.
There's one phrase that we always go to, and it's, do you want to be right or do you want to be close? And that's the thing that helps us to, you know, sort of like ground down and get to home base. And sometimes we're able to do it in an hour. Sometimes it takes overnight. Sometimes it takes a couple of days. But really that base question is there, like, do you want to be right or do you want to be close? And so many arguments are just about proving that my opinion or what I did or what I said was okay. And that what she did or said wasn't okay. And once we can move past that and really get back to like what it is that we're making each other feel, then that empathy kicks in and I just go, man, I don't want to make you feel shitty. I want to make you feel good. Like, that's why I married you. That's what I signed up for. And that's what you signed up for. So let's get back to that place.
It was so commonplace, but so genius.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a simple thing that you can do that's actually going to change the tone of what might be a really difficult interaction otherwise.
Yeah, and it can apply to, it doesn't just have to apply to marriages. It can be to friendships. It can be, you know, office politics. It can be international global politics. It's like
interactions on Facebook.
Yeah, this whole notion of just trying to be right is like, I don't know, I think it's a losing game.
Yeah, you have a recently featured a week-long series of advice about listening and people talking about their tips for being a better listener.
For me, there is like a magical moment of this clicking over from passive hearing to active listening.
one of the things that inhibits people from listening is the momentum that comes inside us, the momentum from needing to be heard, right?
I'm not going to condemn a plant for being brown. You know what I'm saying? You know, it had the ability to be green. It had the ability to be healthy. So if I have the ability to nurture it, I'm going to nurture it.
Why was that on your mind?
Well, you know, I mean, you're a radio producer too. It's just, listening is our calling, us radio makers. And I've just always been fascinated with it, with the art of listening, the craft of it, and just like, I just find that, you know, sometimes, you know, back when we used to go to like parties, do you remember that?
Vaguely.
I kind of remember, yeah. Like you get caught up in a conversation with someone and they don't ask you anything about your life. And you're just like you're the only one asking questions. And like, I love asking questions, but I would just love to help people think about like, you know, why they might be taking up so much space in a conversation and, you know, how enriching it can be just to step back and let like someone else speak first. And so I had the idea for the Listening Week because actually this Saturday, July 18th, is World Listening Day. So I thought, oh, this would be a cool kind of tag. But I didn't know the advice that I would be getting. All I knew was that I would be seeking out listening advice. And so what I subsequently got, all of it was, you know, stuff I had maybe thought about abstractly or maybe not at all until I spoke to my contributors.
They say that there are two kinds of people in the world, people who listen and people who are waiting to talk.
Mm.
Have you always been a listener?
I think so. Yeah, I have always been a listener. Partly because I have often been and continue to be pretty self-conscious about like whether or not I have anything valuable to say. I think I have some inferiority complex that, you know, goes back to having like some really smart friends and not maybe feeling that I was as smart as them. But yeah, I've always been a listener. My mom and her dad, so my mom and grandfather, were also big listeners and big listeners to strangers. And I just kind of noticed them growing up, you know, talking to cashiers and parking booth attendants and just like people in waiting rooms. And like one of my last memories of my grandpa is him just starting a conversation with this guy at the DMV who was like in his 30s. This is when my grandpa was in his 90s. And I don't know. So I grew up seeing it. I guess that's who I am.
This concept, as you mentioned, it started before everything got so crazy in 2020. But as the crises have piled on, the pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement, and just sort of the economic terror that so many people are going through with mass unemployment right now, how would you say the concept has evolved for what this series could or should do?
Yeah, especially in the wake of the killing of George Floyd, and noticing that myself and a lot of my white friends were searching for ways to process and be of use and just kind of understand our role in this country, I wanted to you know, have some more episodes geared toward like confronting whiteness, but also just like, you know, thinking about moving through the urgency of now without getting burnt out. And also, you know, just there's like the more mundane episodes about like hacks that contributors have found to be helpful for them as they work at home now, as people are working from home for the first time in a long time. And so those episodes are pretty fun. This is my third reference to a bathroom in this interview. I don't know what that says to me. But there's the episode from my colleague Ken Haddad, who talked about instead of having like that second or third cup of coffee in the middle of the day, he'll just take a shower because he's home, and that serves as you know, a kind of new boost and a reset to the day. So like those types of episodes, I feel like now are particularly resonant because we all have this shared experience. Not all of us. My wife is working out of the house, but a lot of us have the same experience of working at home and just figuring out how to optimize this new experience.
Yeah. There are a couple of different podcasts that are in play right now that have tapped people of long experience to sort of speak to the current moment. And some of it hits, and some of it, I don't want to name any names because some of them are made by friends of mine. Some of them start to sound a little out of touch given the multiplicity of issues that everyone is dealing with right now. Is there anything that's helped you sort of keep the whole sound of the series grounded? Or what are you listening for to sort of really speak to people wherever they are right now? I guess what I'm saying is, like, how do you keep it relevant?
Well, I think that's the nice thing about the form of the show, because it is just this one little helpful, you know, I feel like any particular episode might not resonate with the listeners, but there's going to be some people that it does resonate with. So, you know, in the event that, like, there is an episode that doesn't feel quite relevant, like, to a listener, it's okay because it's 2 minutes long and tomorrow they might find something that's, like, you know, right down their alley. So, you know, I think I don't worry too much about that, but I think it's just more about me, like, following my curiosity and just, like, if I'm tickled or enchanted or challenged by someone's advice, I'll just kind of trust that the listeners will be as well.
Is there any particular kind of advice that you're excited about exploring in the weeks and months to come?
I just started to read this great essay about how to apologize. And I was thinking about doing like a week-long series about how to apologize, which is something that so many of us just don't know how to do. And similar to listening, it's just kind of this foundational skill that I think we need if we're going to evolve. And so, yeah, exploring the different textures and dimensions of an apology, I think that seems pretty exciting to me.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to hearing it. Zach Rosen is the producer of The Best Advice Show and a slew of other podcasts. You can pick it up wherever you get your podcasts today. Zach, thank you so much for talking to us, and thanks for the really great series.
Thank you so much, April. This has been really, really fun.